And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brits. It was revolution.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Republic News Radio 101. We the people, tonight hosting our republic for the United States of America. Great to have everybody tonight. Can you hear me?
Gator, it's
yes, fantastic.
Good evening. We're excited, and what an opportunity, what a privilege, what an honor to be on this program with you tonight, Gator. What's heavy on your heart? What do you got for us tonight?
It's always my honor, quite honestly, with all you great patriots. I wanted to share this real quick with everybody, and I was thinking, as I'm, you know, studying all day with what's going on in the political world and everything else, and we say to ourselves, 20 years ago, a little more, with the Internet and everything, when it first came out, we had MySpace, and I remember a lot of kids were all into that stuff and the whatever and the music and getting to know each other, and then comes Facebook and other platforms. And what has the Internet and social media become? Was Facebook and others invented for the good of mankind? Or was it invented for a future evil of the New World Order and others that want to control us? Because what we're seeing now is exactly what's happening. There is good with social media, but there's evil as well. And we better hope that the corruption in our government doesn't use this tool for humanity as a major weapon, because it's working so far with all the corruption, voting. Now Google right now is under investigation. Is the NSA using this to spy on the American people? I have a funny feeling they are. They know everything we're doing, everything we say, everything's recorded. I just hope that social media doesn't become a major weapon, a tool. Because we know what mainstream media is all about. Look what's happened to that. So I wanted to make that point to everybody tonight. I know we're all on social media. I know Sister Jean Hertler sees it all the time. But it's something to think about, ladies and gentlemen.
Gator, that's a great subject to bring up. And you know what came to my mind? I think you would make a great congressman. Okay, because these are things that have to be brought to the forefront when the Republic stands up. And I'll kind of talk a little bit more about that. I'm going to ask Representative Mark Minder to start us off in prayer right now. Go ahead, Representative Minder. He's from the Republic for Iowa, Republic of Iowa. And so go ahead. What an honor to have you on, sir.
Thank you, David. It's an honor to be here and represent the great people of Iowa. Fatherhead, Father of all creation, thank you for blessing this nation, America, so richly. Thank you for foretelling us all things through the prophets, so we need not fear our enemy, the sons of Satan. Thank you for establishing and ordaining this American Republic, though it has been and will continue to be a strong attractor to our adversary. Give us strength to persevere just a little while longer until your plan of salvation comes to fruition. We know that with the gospel armor on and in place, Satan's fiery darts or lies have no effect on God's people, for knowing the truth steals us from being deceived. When we read your word, O Father, let our spiritual eyes and ears be opened to your exact message to us, and for this time when we are in contention against the babbling confusion the world has to offer us. And with these special gifts you give us, let us be more valuable to you in service to your plan and a blessing to those around us. Thank you for all who report, speak, and write the truth, for without truth there can be no justice. Thank you for our truthful historical documents and writings, especially our founding documents and writings and our two re-inhabited books. May these truths be spread far and wide across America and beyond in the near future. We want so much to be part of your plan, and we'll be studying for our final exam, Father. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. And thank you, Father.
Thank you, Representative Finder. R.D. Peterson, could you give us an update? Go ahead, RD.
Thank you very much. I want to give everybody an update. I now have officially my first tenant at Donna's Place. I have put in some proposals to some of the major lumber and construction companies here around in the state, and some of them are telling me that they'll get back to me within the next few days with their board to make some decisions about donating materials for time or remuneration for Donna's Place so I can finish the last of what I need to do. I've put in out of my own pocket total so far $150,000 of my own money into this house. I haven't gotten any money from the government whatsoever, none. I've done this all on my own. Soon to start receiving some money from my Facebook campaign that I've put on, and I also put on a campaign for Donna's Place as well on GoFundMe. I have several veterans groups I've contacted, and I've also contacted the media, and once I get this place fully underway, there's going to be some photo ops done, and there's going to be some media calls, and it'll probably be on the TV. I've already contacted the networks. My house will be the only house in the entire state of Maine that provides housing for homeless and disabled veterans, and I'm donating it in the memory of my wife. I'm going to call it Donna's Place. It's going to be a big sign on the front of the house. I still need quite a bit. I need anywhere from $60,000 to $75,000 more to make everything handicap accessible for everyone and to make sure that it's a good, safe, warm place. God willing, and I'm sure God's in my pocket on this, we're going to get it done.
RD, give the address for them to come. Great report. I'm excited. Can you give an address?
The physical address is 105 Broadway Street, and that's in Baileyville, Baileyville, Maine, 04694. Any mailing address would be P.O. Box 604, Baileyville, Maine, 04694. That's P.O. Box 604, Baileyville, Maine, 04694. My email, if anybody wants to email me, is rdpeterson, that's with a S-O-N, 1954, at gmail.com.
Thank you, RD. I love your report. I hope you can come on next week, try to stay abreast with us, and keep us up to date. Thank you so much for coming on the program, RD.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on. And Gator, you go get them, buddy.
Oh, yeah. We always get it done.
All right, what I want to do is I want to get into the Declaration of Independence. Next week, Lord willing, I'm going to follow through on it. There was 56 signers that signed the Declaration of Independence, and 5 signers were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. And 12 had their homes ransacked and burned, and 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary War. Another had 2 sons captured, and 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or the hardships of the Revolutionary War. Now, what kind of people were they? Well, 24 were lawyers and jurists, and 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners, men of means, well-educated people. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were to be captured. I want to bring up to you the First Continental Congress. The first time they met was on September 5th, 1774, those 56 delegates. Remember that date, September 5th. Now, it's been said by many, and if you do a lot of research, that the war really started on April 19th, 1775, and that's labeled as Patriots' Day. That's the day a shot heard around the world. Well, there is some other people that say really it started before that. When the British fired upon a small group of hastily assembled patriots on the Lexington Green is what April 19th is about. They were attempting to regain control of a colony that had already lost. So the real revolution, the transfer of political authority to the American patriots, occurred more really a half a year before that date, when thousands upon thousands of farmers and artisans disposed every crown-appointed official in Massachusetts outside of Boston. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. This is a great account. During the late summer of 1774, now remember I told you the Continental Congress started on September 5th, 1774, But during that late summer of 1770, each time a court was slated to meet under British authority in some Massachusetts town, great numbers of angry citizens made sure it did not. These patriots were furious because they had just been disenfranchised by the Massachusetts Government Act. Having lost control of the governmental apparatus, and in particular of the courts, they feared that the arbitrary rulers might soon seize their tools, their livestock, and even their farms. Worcester, get that in your thinking, Worcester was a center of this massive uprising. It was the patriots of Worcester who first called for a meeting of several counties to coordinate the resistance. It was at Worcester on September 6, 1774, that the British conceded control of the countryside. For the preceding month, General Thomas Gage had proclaimed he would hold the line at Worcester by sending troops to protect the court. But on the appointed day, he backed down. Why did he back down? Well, when British troops failed to show 4,722 militiamen from 37 towns in Worcester County lined both sides of Main Street and forced every official and every prominent Tory in town to resign or recant 30 times over, hats in hand, as they made their way through the gauntlet from Haywood's Tavern at Exchange Street to the county courthouse. This was by far the greatest assembly of people ever to convene in the town of Worcester, which had fewer than 250 voters. Now, some towns, having armed and trained for a month, sent virtually every adult male. Shortly thereafter, the town of Worcester was the first to urge that a new government be formed, as from the ashes of the phoenix. That's what we're about, that a new government should be formed today. The republic should be stood up today. Now, if I go to April 18th, 1775, that's when Paul Revere said the redcoats are coming, the regulars are coming. And then when on early morning on the 19th, the troops entered Lexington, and they found a company of armed militia drawn up on the meeting house green, presumably with intent to oppose the British advance. Well, thereupon, this guy by the name of Major Pitcairn, in command of the British, rode forward and ordered the Americans to disperse. And Captain John Parker, who led the colonial militia, observing that his men were both badly outnumbered, also ordered them to withdraw. Now, what I'm about to say is controversial, but let me explain. But from some quarter, where whether British or American, will never be known who shot the first shot, but a shot was fired, and that shot is the shot that is labeled the shot heard around the world. Now, it has been said by some that when Parker turned the people to walk away because they were totally outnumbered, that one of the British shot one of the colonists by a churchyard in the back, which started the whole thing. And I believe 8 lay dead, and I can't remember how many were wounded. After this account, the resistance of the British troops proved futile. As Parker had foreseen, and leaving the Americans to care for a number of dead and wounded, Pitcairn marched on to Concord. Okay, what was he going to do in Concord? Well, he destroyed some of American supplies, but he scored no further triumphs. But here's the thing. On the return to Boston, his troops were the target for farmers and citizen militiamen who lined the battle road. And from behind stone walls, rocks, and trees picked off so many of the redcoats that the retreat to Boston ended in a humiliating rout. The news of this long-awaited clash soon penetrated to every village and hamlet throughout the colony. From all New England armed militiamen collected around Boston to lay siege of the city, and patriotic resolves from far and near assured that Massachusetts militiamen that in the course they had chosen, they would not lack for support. The militia of the people had begun defending themselves and their country from the usurpations and tyrannies of government. To ensure the inherent right of the people against tyranny and its despotism in their own government is the primary reason the Second Article of Amendment to the Constitution for the United States was later adapted. And one, on the 10th of May, following the affairs that I just explained to you that happened in Lexington and Concord, the Second Continental Congress began its sessions in Philadelphia. And the new Continental Congress was far more militant than the first Congress. Now, John Adams was the spearhead that was behind bringing the Declaration of Independence to our country. John Adams knew about the militia outside of Boston, and he knew that blood was being shed, and he shared it with Congress, and there was a couple that were against his ideas. But he said, we have to label that militia, that large militia, and call it an army, a Continental Army. And in his presence, from Virginia, was George Washington. George Washington stood 6'4", and the average height back then in the 1700s of men was 5'8". He nominated, he brought before Congress that George Washington, around the 15th of June, should be the commander-in-chief of the militia. They voted on it, and it happened. Now, I want to share with you that March 4th of 1776 was a huge day. Now let me explain. What happened after Washington caught up with his Continental Army around July 2nd of 1775? And between the time that he was nominated and to the time he came in with the Continental Army on the 2nd of July, Bunker Hill had taken place, and they held off the British two times, but the third time they lost because they ran out of ammunition. A guy by the name of Henry Knox, who had a bookstore that studied artillery, knew everything about every kind of gun and cannon, befriended with Washington, and he displayed who he was and what he knew. And so Washington sent Henry Knox to Ticonderoga to get some 49 cannons and cannonballs and ammunition, as you will, and powder, and they used some 46 sleds, and the farmers, there was 80 oxen that pulled those cannons. It was in the winter time, and they went over Lake Champlain and Lake George, and by the time they got around where Washington was, it was March 4, 1776, and this was at Dorchester Heights to the south of Boston, and he trained the cannon on the city, and he routed out the British in the harbor, routed them out, and they fled to Nova Scotia. Now, this is really important what I want to share with you. America, heads up. Congress was in a mood to respond to the shift in public opinion. It was soon evident because there was this momentum building about independence. Let me explain. As early as April 1776, the North Carolina delegates received instructions to work for independence. And on May 4, 1776, two full months before the other 12 of the 13 original colonies did so, independence from the mother country, Great Britain, was formally declared by the General Assembly of the colony of Rhode Island. Bold and brave historic action created the first free republic in the New World Order. Virginia soon followed. Listen up. This is huge. Virginia soon followed and openly proclaimed her own secession from the British Empire. On the 7th of June in Congress, Richard Henry Lee of Virginia, seconded by John Adams, offered a resolution, quote, that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. Doubtless this resolution expressed the sentiments of an overwhelming majority, the delegates, but to satisfy a small minority it was. So on June 10th, They wanted to vote yay or nay, should we go with the declaration? And there were a couple that needed to go back to their constituents to get what their states would say to them concerning Declaration of Independence. They were to reunite on July 1st, and they did. And when they reunited on July 1st, there was a Declaration of Independence that was written by a committee, specifically Thomas Jefferson. And in that committee was Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Roger Sherman, and Robert Livingston. He took from the 11th of June to the 28th to write the Declaration of Independence. It was scrutinized. It was brought before. There's controversy on this, but I'm going to bring this forward, and I'm believing this. Jefferson produced a fair copy, presented it to Ben Franklin and John Adams on the 28th of June. They made, those two guys, made 47 emendations to the document. And during the ensuing congressional debates of July 1st through July 4th, Congress adopted 39 further revisions to the committee draft. So I was led to believe that there was some 60 changes, and so you can add this up, 47 plus 39. So what I want to say to you is this, in closing, you know, the Declaration articulated five derivative principles of the laws of nature and of nature's God. And the laws of nature and nature's God is in the preamble. That's in the first paragraph. And the first, that the people are all created by God and that by virtue of this circumstance are therefore entitled to be treated equal before the law. And second, all people are endowed by God with certain unalienable rights. And third, the people are also endowed with the right to govern themselves. And fourth, that the people retain the right to alter or abolish an unlawful form of government as an exercise of self-government. And the last one is the people are free to organize the civil government's powers in such a way as to secure their happiness. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the apples of gold and pitchers of silver. When we go to Proverbs, the pitchers of silver would be the Constitution that would answer the Declaration. What I want to say to you is this. I represent the genuine republic for the United States of America, as everyone else on this call. When you look at the intensity of those 56 signers, on that window of time which came together, finally in the mid-afternoon going into the evening of July 4, 1776, where they marched down to Dunlap broadsides to start printing the Declaration so they could disperse. I want to tell you, first of all, that there was a cover letter written by Hancock on the 6th, 2 days later, and on the 8th, John Nixon stood out in front of Independence Hall and read the Declaration. And I got to throw this in. George Washington fought in the French and Indian War for the British. And on July 9th, 1755, he was shot at where he had four holes in his garment, and none of those bullets pierced his skin, and two horses were shot from underneath him. When, on July 9, 1776, a horseman pulled up to the Continental Army and handed George Washington exactly 21 years to the day the Declaration of Independence to be shared with his Continental Army. I find that extremely interesting. Today, we know that there is things that are going on that would cause us to believe that there are going to be a bunch of people in Congress in Washington that are going to have to step down because there are things that they did that they shouldn't have done and they're going to be caught up with. And this is going to cause a little bit of a commotion where those people are going to have to be replaced. Now, when the Republic stands up and the people that are God-fearing people take office in Congress, I believe that there is going to be a great responsibility. I believe it's going to be intense in Congress when they start up Congress again. The reason is there are enemies on our soil that have to be dealt with. There are different issues and circumstances that are going to have to be taken care of to follow up on what the spearhead of the government and the de facto government, I'm talking about the CEO, the president of the de facto government in Washington, D.C., which is namely Donald Trump. Donald Trump is doing such a fantastic job to clean up our country. And after measures are taken to where he's going to remove those in Congress and the other branches of government, I believe that we are going to have people that are called by God, and they are going to have to work intensely to do the things that are going to have to be done to make America great again. My wife, Jean, do you have anything you'd like to share?
I do, and I say good evening, America. My thoughts while you were speaking, David, is I didn't learn those things in school. I'm of the baby boomer generation. If you're born between 1946 and 1964, you're of the baby boomer generation too, and certainly the generations after ours didn't learn these things in school either. And today, history is not taught in the public school at all. And the alarming thing about that is our history is our heritage. That's how we know who we are as a nation of people. And in America, where that's important, is that in the founding era of our nation, so we're looking at the 1770s, so about 150 years after the Pilgrims came over, the people in that era were 99.8% Christian. They were primarily Christian in this nation. Most of us understand the story of the Pilgrims coming to this land, seeking to be able to live a lifestyle of the scriptures that they learned because of the Protestant Reformation. And about 10 years after that, the Puritans followed for the same reason. And the nation progressed in Christianity. Representative government started in the churches. And liberty is birthed forth from the Bible, from God. Liberty comes because of living a godly lifestyle and being in agreement with God's word, with his law. So that's some background on the United States of America and how this nation was born. Our forefathers were intent on standing fast in the liberty wherewith Christ had set them free. So the American Revolution, or the War for Independence, was more of a religious war that they were fighting than anything else. It was a war against the crown. King George III, he was a wicked man, and he was full of tyranny, brought despotism on this land. What the British colonists dealt with from the king was atrocious. If you go through the accounts that they give in the Declaration of Independence of what they dealt with, it's heart-rending what the king had put them through. And the parliament, which was like the Congress in the UK, they weren't any better. They were not supportive of their cousins here in America. So to continue living a Christian lifestyle, and of which the Bible was their main textbook in life, they learned to read from the Bible, and they had Bibles. That was their textbook all throughout their lives. It was important to them, and they understood what they had here in America. And another thought that I had, before the Pilgrims came over, there was the settlement at Jamestown. King James, who was king in Great Britain then, gave a charter for the Virginia Company. That would have been around 1607, 1608, right in there. And I'm looking at a report where they said that their purpose to come to this new world in the Western Hemisphere was to spread the gospel to the heathen and provide a place where the godly elect from around the world could gather in the new world. How about that? It's been known throughout our history that they would have a land where they could gather together to live the liberty that Christ provided. I want to say that Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." It's a big deal what we have here. And if you call yourself Christian, you have a duty to God and to your fellow man to stand up and to give voice for what we have on this land, what was created to us. There was a lot of blood spilled on this land so that we could have that liberty. Let me cite to you Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5, 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. It's a calling. Liberty is a calling. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. James 2:12. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Get that. The law of liberty. That's what we're going to be judged by one day. So Christians in America, and the latest report is that 78% of Americans proclaim or declare that they are Christians. Whether they're true born-again Christians or not, don't know, but that's the record. And so, American people, it's about you doing your duty to God. You stand up and you give voice that we want our republic restored. We want this once again to be the land of liberty. And with that, David, I thank you, and I yield the floor.
Thank you so much, Jean. Would you tell us about the Re-Inhabited books, please, Jean?
I'd be happy to. The Re-Inhabited series of books, they're called Re-Inhabited Republic for the United States of America. They're written in two volumes, volume one being America's Truthful History, and volume two being the story of the re-inhabitation. Volume one goes into our American history, our truthful history. A lot of it has been hidden from our current generations and not told. And it's told from a biblical worldview, which certainly isn't reported anymore today. It also goes into and is presented in a way that has not been presented before. It's unprecedented on the facts of this war between good and evil, how it's been going on. Most of us know that there was a Reformation in 1517 with Martin Luther, but most don't know that there was also a Counter-Reformation in 1534. And who were those people that were battling against this liberty, this Protestant Reformation, to have a land, to have the kingdom of heaven on earth, a land to live those scriptures? We point that out with documented evidence from all original sources, books that have been taken out of print, to be able to tell the story of what the truth is in our history. And then volume two, the story of the re-inhabitation. Who was behind discovering that the American Republic was put in dormancy in the Civil War era, in the Reconstruction era, in the beginning in the Civil War years? And how come it's called a democracy today when our founding fathers absolutely hated democracy, but Dr. Benjamin Rush said democracy is the devil's own government? Well, a corporation democracy went forward when the American Republic was put in dormancy, and the honorable high brass of the military that you see surrounding President Trump today, there was a plan, and in law, the American Republic had to be taken out of dormancy. Notice had to be served around the world, which was done. And we have proof of service that that was done. And what was done in those years, and as we hold the seats for the American people, for the American Republic, because of what was done in 2010, what you see happening in D.C. today with draining the swamp and the exposure of the wicked people that wanted to destroy our liberty, they are able to do that as a direct result of what was done in re-inhabiting the American Republic. Those books can be purchased at the book website is reinhabited.com, and that's a discounted price that is afforded there, and they're also available at Barnes & Noble as well as at Amazon.com. And let me say also that as the authors of Re-Inhabited, we have gifted those books to the Republic for the United States of America and ultimately to the American people. So we have nothing personally to gain except for the awakening of the American people and for them to gain the knowledge of our truth, so that we know who we are as a nation and can fulfill our national purpose and our prophetic destiny that is yet ahead.
With that kind of presentation on those two books, America, how can you not order those books? They would be a tremendous addition to your library. Get those books, not only for yourself, but for your children and your grandchildren. With that, we're going to move on to Justice Waters from the Free State of Indiana. Justice Waters, what do you have for us tonight, sir?
Well, thank you, David. Thank you, Gator, for allowing us to be on. Well, David, Gene, I got a question. Have I talked to you in the last week?
No, sir, you haven't.
Well, this is going to be really amazing for America because I am actually picking up where you just left off. I have a message for America, and it's a warning, and it's straight from the throne room. I received it last Tuesday night through Thursday morning. I want you to listen to what I have to say because what David said tonight and what Gene just got through saying sets the groundwork for what I'm about to say. You know, when they came to America in the early 1600s, searching for a new world, and all that Gene said, the reasons they came, the founding fathers understood one thing. This was the city on the hill. This is where it was going to happen. And it was going to be a free nation. But there was one more thing that they had in mind. It was going to be the remnant. And the kingdom of God was going to flourish in this land. That was their vision. That was their dream. And that is what they attempted to do. Now, what is a kingdom? A kingdom is where the king establishes all law and all authority. It is where the king provides security and promises to keep all of his subjects safe. It is where the king provides all subjects a place to live and work. And it's a place where the king rules totally because the king is the law. The subjects, they live and work under the king's rules, under his laws and his authority. The subjects will support the king in securing the kingdom and its borders. The subjects will work for the king, giving a part of their earnings to him as a tax or a tithe. The subjects will always, under the law of the kingdom, bow and serve the king. Under the kingdom of God, or as in Hebrew, the kingdom of Elohim, Yahweh is the king. And it is he who establishes all rule and all authority and was given to Moses. In Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2, Moses is given a commandment. That commandment says that you shall not take away from the words that I give you and you shall not add to them. Why? Because it was the king's words. Nobody has the authority to leave the presence of the physical realm in flesh and blood and go to heaven and take the book of law from the king and change the law. No man has that right. The Messiah came because he was the spoken word. And when he came, he didn't change the law. He didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled the law. And then the Father gives the Son, the Messiah, a name above all names. There is no other name in heaven, earth, or hell that's higher than the name of Yeshua. He is King. And when the founding fathers came to this land, and when they were born on this land, they were born with a vision and a purpose to raise the kingdom of God under the authorship and under the rule of God himself through the Messiah. That is what they wanted. And it worked. They established it. They were so happy. And then their generation died out. And evil men began to come in and take over. We have laid the foundation over the last year of who those people were, what they did. Okay? God spoke to Ezekiel in his day and said, this is found in Ezekiel chapter 22, your land is not clean, and the rain from heaven is not falling on it. There is a conspiracy of your leadership in a spiritual way. Like a roaring lion, they come speaking whittled down words and lies to you, and you believe them. They have stolen and eaten souls. They have stolen from your pocketbook, your bank accounts, and your savings. They have made widows in the nation because of this. Those who had, have no more. The pastors, preachers, traveling preachers, and scavengers have violated my laws. And they have cursed my holy things. They show no difference between sin and holiness. And they have lied and hidden the truth of my Sabbaths. And I am profaned among you. Their trainees in the churches are like wolves, ready to leap on the prey, to kill spiritually, and to shed spiritual blood just to get dishonest wealth. Your prophets have played with witchcraft, seeing vanity and divining lies to you. They say, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord has not spoken. They have used oppression, robbery, and have stolen from the poor and the needy. When new people come into the fold, they oppress them wrongfully. So I look for a man that would stand before me and the land so I would not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore, my anger and my wrath will be poured out upon you and your land. Now this was to Ezekiel in the Old Testament days, and we know from the scriptures what happened to Israel. They went into bondage under the rule of Babylon. They were cursed because of what they did. What they did was they threw away God and made idols that they worshiped. Get ready, because here it comes. It's exactly what the American church has done in the last 100 years. That word that was given to Ezekiel is now given to America. Get ready. Now, understand, that word that I just read to America is not to the guy living down on the corner, or to your neighbor, or to you. It's given to the clergy. It's given to those in charge in D.C. It's given to the leadership. Those that are in charge. That's who it's given to. It's a warning. You are going to be destroyed if you don't change your ways. And believe me, you don't have long to change your ways. Here in America, the modern church has become a playhouse for Satan. Let's get one thing straight right now. The church is not a building. It is the people. You are the church. If you are born again and have the Holy Spirit that lives inside you, you are the church. That's why when you and somebody else get together, you have fellowship, because it's a kindred spirit. there are those that are known as messianic. They believe that we should keep the law because Christ never did away with the law. Matthew 5:17-18. But he fulfilled it. What is that law? Part of that law are the feast days. So I have a question. Why is it that the American church follows and endorses every single pagan holiday but refuses to do anything with the holidays of God spoke of in his word? Why is that? That is the clergy's fault. That is the leadership's fault. And that is why you are about to get destroyed. Because of your sin, because of your lack and unwillingness to adhere to the laws and what Christ said in the Word. Your days are numbered. Understand that. Now, what does that mean for us? While we are here on this earth, those that call themselves Christian, we are part of the kingdom of God. But there is another kingdom that will be coming. It's called the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't show up to earth until New Jerusalem comes. And that is at the very end of everything recorded in God's word. That is when the Messiah turns the kingdom of God on earth over to the Father, Elohim, who sits on the throne in the Holy of Holies in New Jerusalem. And that's how we get into New Jerusalem. The whole kingdom at one time is turned over to the Father. You must be in the kingdom. Clergy, for the last 4 to 5 months, all I have heard from David Hurtler and Gene Hurtler on this call was change. Get ready. Conform to God's word. Do what is correct and right in his sight. That has been their message. Here is another part of that message. Turn or burn. It's that simple. Because God is about to raise up a new breed of clergy, a new group of people who will conform to his word, who will adhere his laws. And you're going to be out and they're going to be in. And you are not going to see the kingdom of heaven because you have led God's people, his flock, down an evil and uncompassionate road. You have taught them how to get rich on God's back pocket. And he doesn't operate that way. It's called the prosperity gospel. Yes, God wants us to prosper, but not the way you teach it. Who is prospering? The clergy. Who has the multi-million dollar homes? The clergy. You don't believe me? Well, just go look at Creflo Dollar's house. Go look at Benny Hinn's house. How about all those little old ladies over the years that gave their last $10 and didn't have food, hoping that God would give them a hundredfold, like they said? We should have millions of multi-millionaire elderly people living in this nation if what they say is true. But it's not. You've led them astray. And understand, the word of God is the same in Ezekiel's day as it is in today. Because it comes from the same mouth. It's the same king, and it's the same kingdom. Your days are limited. And you either conform to what God has said in his word, or God is packing your bags and moving you out to a place called the lake of fire. That is in his word. Read it. now to you and I, the common folk, so to speak, those of us who are sitting around and listening to these people. Most of you are on this call tonight because you have recognized the lies they've been telling. I applaud you. I am on your side, and you and I are going to prosper under God's authority and under His rulership because we are going to do it His way. And by the way, that man that God looked for in Ezekiel's day, well, today He found a man. It's called the Republic, and it's more than one. It's all of us on this call, and it's hundreds of more around the country. We are the one that God has found, and we are the one that is setting up this republic, and that's why we can legitimately say we've done our part. Now it's up to you. You do yours. The militia that David talked about, if that didn't happen in that day, we wouldn't be having this conversation today. That's how important the Second Amendment is. In the Republic, you not only have the Second Amendment, but if you can carry it, you can have it. There are states right now in the Union who have a concealed weapons permit. They allow you to do that. Look at those states. The crime rate has dropped. No, by the way, California is not one of those states. Their crime rate is rising. Closing the borders? Do you know there's a wall around heaven? Do you know there's a wall around New Jerusalem? Did you know that there was a wall around the old city of Jerusalem in Israel? I've been there. I've touched it. There is a wall. Trump's got it right. It's the only way of first defense to defend your land. And under God's rulership, the wall will be built not only physically, but spiritually. Because God is telling us right now, starting tonight, it is no longer time to sit on our butts and hope He does something. It is time we get off our butts, get on our feet, and go do something. It's time for us to go hunt Satan down and his cohorts down. It's time to go out there, and when you find something that ain't right, you speak up. In my day of growing up in the 60s, it was called grow some guts. And that's what you and I need to do. And that's what the leadership of the churches need to do. Because if you don't do it, you're going to be replaced. And I don't really want to see that happen, but that's God's word, and it's coming if you don't change. David, with that, I yield back to you.
Thank you very much, Justice Waters. Governor Carpenter, do you have a summary statement?
Thank you, David. There's going to be hard choices coming in the near future, folks, and it's going to be sooner than you think. And God always provided and will always provide an umbrella of covering for those saints to follow His teachings. And I do believe, until I'm proven different, that this republic is God's umbrella. What we're trying to do is to shed some light into a dark world, folks. Give you some direction, some understanding, because it's written that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Go to republicfortheunitedstates.com. Support your republic. Get involved. This is yours. You own it at that point. And just like a new car, you need to take care of it. You need to maintain it as well as operate it and enjoy it. And why do you enjoy it? Because it's maintained, because it's shiny and it's pretty. This is your life.
Thank you, Governor Carpenter. Pastor Bland, would you close us out in prayer, please?
Yes, sir. God bless you all this evening. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come this evening thanking you for another opportunity for us to come together, to learn together, to grow together, to to encourage each other together. Thank you for opening our eyes, Lord, to what's right and pleasing in your sight. As we continue on this journey, Lord, we thank you that you're with us. And if you're for us, who can be against us? We pray this evening as we end this call that you will keep your angels of love and protection around us, this great state of the United States of America, our president and our leaders, that you will keep them in the name of Jesus. And we'll praise your name forevermore. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Bland. What an awesome prayer. Thank you for everyone that participated on the call tonight. Gator, take us to the sunset, will you please?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, first I want to thank all the speakers tonight. Absolutely amazing. These are the type of folks that need to be leading our government. But we are here with our republic. We're ready to stand up. We're ready to fight against this evil. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Republic News Radio 101. And please come home to your republic for the United States. Good night, everybody. God bless you all.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brit. It was revolution. Now an enemy from within would enslave us all again and deprive us of our rights in the Constitution. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to understand. Restore the Republic.